Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome Gretchen Wemhoff into the studio for an interview. Gretchen is a candidate for the legislature this year and on the ballot on the first Tuesday in November. Welcome, Gretchen.
Well, good morning.
We set the scene when we do these by explaining how we've picked the questions we have. And our focus has been basically on a theme that asks, how well do you work with others, or how do you work with others? And as background, we point out that nationally and here in Alaska, there seems to have developed a more than usual political polarization that's resulted in gridlock and decisions made by use of power that isn't always backed by a majority of citizens. So with that in mind, the first question runs as two parts. How do you view the present quality of state government, and what is your approach to working with others of different perspectives to ensure quality government?
Well, right now, I believe we are in what you might call a gridlock. We have a majority and a minority, and they don't seem to be talking. We also have a situation where there's a lack of communication between the governor and the legislature. So everyone is kind of, this is, you know, standing their ground and staying on their sides of the table. You know, I'm a mediator. I'm a former high school teacher, and all of my college schooling, from my bachelor's to my master's, has to do with getting along with people. Uh-huh. And so I'm absolutely someone who enjoys working with people, and I don't believe that we need to be giving up just because we come to gridlock. I really believe that sometimes you have to step out. You have to take that risk. We get too concerned sometimes about what other people might think about what we're saying and that we might be crossing the line. But unless we have those conversations, we're not going to break that gridlock. So my way of dealing with people, of course, is creating trust first. Excuse me, trust, and working with that. So I imagine my first thing when I get down there, of course, is to be myself and not be intimidated by other perspectives, but to actually ask them to explain it to me. And that's probably the one thing we don't often do. We often tell people what we think, but we don't listen to what they think. And unless we listen to their perspective, it's hard to figure out how ours can work with them.
Okay. Well, thank you. Second question. How would you describe ethics in government and the money often connected to the issue? And very specifically, what would you do to ensure a good ethical atmosphere?
You know, money, every great philosopher has talked about how money is a problem. And, you know, I even see it in running a campaign, you know, that sometimes the more the money, the better off you're doing. I wish that money in government outside of dealing with budgets was minimized somehow or other. I wish we could take care of the current situation where large PACs can give lots of money and it does influence campaigns. I think right now we do have some decisions that are being made in the legislature that have to do with supporting groups and PACs that have donated. And I think, you know, I really believe that everyone who runs for office has a real intention of going down there and helping and making a difference. But I think when you get into the world, I think it's very difficult to maintain that altruistic view because there is so much money coming around. And there's lobbyists. I've already met lobbyists and I haven't even won the election yet. So it's quite an interesting situation. I think it's very difficult to walk that line and maintain it. So do I think it's a problem? Yes, I think it's a problem. I think the number one thing we need to do, I think, goes back to trust and talking to each other so that both sides also say, you know what? We know we have lots of money behind us, but we really have to think about Alaska. We really have to think about why we're down here. And no one's going to stop that money pressure unless we all work together and say, hey, this is great that you want to give us lots of money, but our bottom line, our bottom job is to take care of Alaska.
Okay. Well, thank you. Third question. What do you see as the most serious environmental problems needing to be addressed, and what particularly do you see as a state role in finding a solution to those problems?
You know, one of the things that I'm really concerned about is our fisheries. I think we have some issues with our fisheries, and we're so busy pointing fingers, we're not really stopping to look at what might be happening. I think every single one of us who goes out into the environment has to be aware, whether we are dip netting and we want to make sure we take our share and not more than our share, that we, if we are going out on the hiking or out on our snow machines or our ATV vehicles, that we actually watch out for salmon spawning areas and try to take care of areas like that. And as for commercial fishing, doing the same thing, taking what we're supposed to take and reporting what we find, because sometimes we all see something. So I think one of our a huge environmental issue, of course, is what's happening to our wildlife, especially our fisheries. And our fisheries, of course, are a major source of income for thousands of people in our state. Mm-hmm. I think another place that we need to really be concerned about is our water tables. We are, especially in the more urban areas, we're having challenges where we're having things such as monofills being called, and people have their own wells, and they're concerned about monofills percolating down into the water, into the aquifers, and then our fresh water that we're so known for is no longer fresh. And so I think water is something that we take for granted and we need to be very concerned about.
So how do you view the state's role in dealing with these problems?
Well, I think the state, and of course, you know, everyone says don't make more rules and do make more rules. But I do think the state has to be active in balancing the development and the environment. And, you know, in the past, we have done a great job. If you think about it, even going back to the pipeline, we did such a fantastic job of working with the environment and building this magnificent pipeline, concerned about caribou and concerned about all the animals and safety and the tundra, the permafrost. So it seems to me that we are capable of, again, coming together and saying, you know what, okay, we're going to have a monofill, but maybe we need to line it. And that's a mandate. We're going to have to line it, that protecting our environment has to be a state priority. The state needs to be involved in it. And I know that not a lot of folks like regulations, but if we can't take care of it ourselves, we're going to have to make a few rules.
Okay. Thank you. The state of Alaska has chosen to not participate in an expansion of Medicaid as offered by the federal government. What is your understanding of government's role to make sure every Alaskan has access to health care, along with education about healthier living and early treatment?
Well, first of all, I believe that we should have accepted the expansion. I was just talking to a woman the other day. She's a 2-time cancer survivor, and at that time she had insurance, and currently she doesn't, but she's in that gap. She makes too much money to qualify for Medicaid, but she also doesn't make enough to purchase her own insurance. So here's a woman who has survived cancer twice and has just found another symptom, and she's concerned because she falls in this gap. So I think that our not expanding Medicaid, at least to take it for the 3 years so that we could find a solution, was not a good idea. The state should make sure, especially our state, we have money saved away for a reason, and we're keeping it there. But in addition to that, we also have other resources for bringing in revenue, and no one in our state should go without insurance. I think preventative care, we've been doing a great job, especially in the dental care out in the villages, and using our university system to train people to go out and do dental preventative care, which is a huge situation. In fact, most insurance companies cover preventative care. So that's a good thing that the state's been helping with. I also believe that preventative care as far as birth control, that no woman should be unable to get birth control and that should be considered a preventative care, prevent a pregnancy. So I do think that the state could regulate with our insurance as well. Right now, our insurance rates are going up, and the state does have the opportunity to get involved and slow that down and negotiate with insurance companies.
Okay, thank you. Many observers suggest that the next few years will see a decline in revenue that will put increasing pressure on the state's budgets, especially the funding of education, as well as basic services such as transportation, infrastructure, and public safety. How do you see the legislature contributing to solutions for matching funding and needs?
Well, I think the legislature has had a lot of great ideas and opportunities on our capital budget. But, you know, sometimes we just can't afford everything we'd like to do. And we've been cutting our operating budget, especially health and human services and, oh, my goodness, education. Education has been cut to the point that I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. It's almost criminal that we are taking money out of education at the rate we are doing this. So the state has been cutting in one area as the government, I should say, the legislature, but then adding a great deal of money into capital projects that really don't impact as many people. You know, we're a state of, you know, fewer than a million people, only 700,000 plus, and yet we have projects that are being developed that normally you don't see in communities of our size. So I think we've put too much money in our capital budget, and we really need to pull back. And cutting the operating budget, you know, I hear that all the time. Oh, we've got to cut our budget. We've got to tighten our belt. And we have done that quite a bit. Right now we are losing teachers. Well, we've lost 400 to 600 teachers in the past few years. They anticipate in the next couple of years we'll have lost 1,000 more. My granddaughter's class, her kindergarten class, has 24 kindergartners in it. And that is not conducive to good education. I watched her teacher and totally amazed with the woman because she did as much as she could. But while she's trying to teach, while she's trying to lead, she always has two over here or two over here that need to be brought in and disciplined. It's hard to keep 24 kindergartners. I challenge anyone to put 24 kindergartners in their house and try to keep order. So you go further up, and our students need adults in their life. So, and teachers are oftentimes one of the major source of adulthood in a child's life. So as far as the state, we need to look at our capital budgets and go, why in the world are we building a road from Juneau when it doesn't connect to the road system? You know, are we building it to develop more homes? Okay, that's fine. But who does that really benefit compared to the entire state? And should we not be putting it in our education? We have a growing number of our senior population is growing. We need to be thinking about that. So, yeah, we need to slow down the capital projects and go back and reinforce and strengthen our education seniors services.
Okay, we've covered five questions. So this is an opportunity for you to talk about anything that you'd like for a bit.
Well, you know, I've lived in Alaska since 1965. I came up with my parents. And I've always been involved in the community. And I really give that credit to my parents, who also were great role models in that. And I think that learning to be involved in your community is something that we sometimes forget is so important. That voting, you know, I've run across people that have said, well, you know, I just don't vote. But, you know, voting is so important to be part of this decision, because we make these... We make calls down in Juneau that impact all of us. And if folks don't vote for the right people, then we're in trouble. Excuse me. But the other thing I wanted to share with you is I have a real concern for the worker in our state right now. We have people who are trying to make a living on a very low wage, and they oftentimes might have to move out to the valley and work in Anchorage, or live in one part of the valley and work in another part of the valley, and they may not have good transportation. Oftentimes that means picking up a beater car or a car that they could get for a few hundred dollars. As soon as that car crashes on them one day or dies on them one day, then all of a sudden they can't get to work. Oftentimes that means losing a job. We have people who can't drive for some reason or the other, and they're trying to get their life back together. And they also can't get to work. And I think we really, as we build our transportation infrastructure, we also need to focus on a way to increase our mass transit to lessen the wear on our roads and to move our people so they can get to work. I think that everyone wants our workers to get to work. I think it would be good for businesses. It'd be good for our populace to be able to have people get to work and work. People who work and earn money are happier, and they add to our economy. And the more people we can get working, the better our economy is going to be.
Okay. Mike Malewski here. I've been talking with Gretchen Wemhoff, who is a candidate for the legislature and will be on the ballot in November. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much, Mike.